Greetings once again, America. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the Worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. We are back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors. But we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. Me and my extremely attractive audio engineer back from a well-deserved vacation. 1 week turned into two because I decided to work in the middle of the vacation, which everyone was thoroughly against. But I went ahead and did it anyways. But it's good to be back. I missed you people. But not very much, actually. I really didn't. I was on the beach and around the pool with my extremely attractive audio engineer and our beautiful, wonderful children. And so I really didn't miss you people at all, but I am glad to be back in an odd kind of way. Ready to jump right in the news. I got a stack of news so thick, I had to separate it into first tier and second tier news. I may pull from the second tier as we go forward. But as you know, if you listen to the show regularly, we like to start out with something silly. And so we're going to start at the White House press briefing. White House press secretary, where did I get this? I got this from CNS News, a fine news source, by the way. Got this from CNSnews.com. White House press secretary Josh Earnest said last Monday that the Obama administration's foreign policies have enhanced the world's tranquility. He used the word tranquility. Who uses that word anymore except me in the domestic tranquility file? I think Josh and the White House staff may be listening to the show. They've probably been waiting with bated breath for us to come back since we've been on hiatus. A Fox News reporter in the press gallery asked, how does the White House react to the notion that the president is a bystander to all these crises? What crises, you may ask? Well, let's just go down the list. Oh, by the way, let's talk about Josh Earnest, because I made a joke, and nobody really gets it. So sometimes I make jokes that only really higher-functioning people get. And so I have to explain them. So let me go into okay, Josh Earnest took over as press secretary for that other little weasel from Time Magazine. I can't remember his name even now. That little weasel. Anyway, he's gone, and he's looking for, well, he's going to get another job somewhere. But Josh Earnest has been installed, and it reminded me when I read his name for the very first time, being an amateur, Jay Carney. Carney, which that had its own, I don't even want to go into that, what you could do with that. A barker at the Carney. Hey, come on, you want to buy this? You want to believe this? Come on, try this. You could be a winner. That was Jay Carney. Now we have Josh Earnest. And it reminded me, being an amateur theologian and something of a biblical scholar, at least when I'm compared with other people who've gone to seminary, I look like a biblical scholar, sound like a biblical scholar, but I'm really just an amateur. But, you know, in the Bible, there are names that have meanings, you know? I'll give you an example. Nathaniel means God has given, right? Joshua, which also can be translated Yeshua, which also can be translated Jesus, means Yahweh is salvation. Yet the Bible, these names have meanings. Abel, you remember Abel from Genesis? Abel means breath. That's weird. I always thought Ab-El, I thought that would have meant my father is God. But anyway, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, obviously. Anyway, all these names in the Bible have deeper meanings. Josh Earnest, when translated into the Hebrew, means desires to be convincingly misleading. Josh Earnest. Yes, desires to be convincingly misleading. Okay, so now that everybody understands that joke, we can move on. What's Fox News doing asking about the notion that the president is a bystander to all these crises? I think Fox News is just as beholden to the government as every other news outlet. And all of their reporters went to the same urinalism schools that everyone else's did. And so without even realizing it, they play into the hands of the enemy all the time. In fact, Fox News, Well, they may be the enemy. They're just CNN, but they have their anchors show more thigh and calf and cleavage. Oh, but they're all transgendered. Is that Juan Williams is the only confirmed female on that network, as far as we know. All right, now I don't want to bash Fox News. I know a lot of you people watch Fox News. You love Fox News, and that's wonderful. But let's go into the crises that Barry is trying to act like he is a bystander amidst. I don't know what's going on with you people. Every time I and my extremely attractive audio engineer take off for a week or two, we come back and the whole world is embroiled in a series of crises, or at least one big crisis. And this past 2 weeks, it's been crisis after crisis after crisis, and my extremely attractive audio engineer reminded me that for about the past 5 years, it's not just every time we go on vacation that a crisis erupts. It's like every week. And that's why it seems like when we go away and we don't pay attention to the news for a while, that you people have completely lost control of everything. We have to get back in here, get astride the microphone, and try to get things under control. All right, we've got the Israeli ground incursion into Gaza. There were the rocket launches. There was the air bombardment. Now there's the ground incursion. Now that's a major crisis. It's justified on the Israeli side. I think Hamas is in their death throes and they're desperate. And so they're just trying to take as many people as they can with them because they're suicidal, maniacal fanatics. Satanic fanatics is what I believe about Hamas. And they run Gaza. Anyway, Israel's ground incursion, it's critical, it's justified, it's foolishly limited. I read an Israeli governing official in Haaretz today said, wiping out Hamas is, quote, on the table, unquote. On the table? Wiping out Hamas is on the table? If that's not the whole point, then I'm afraid you're wasting your time. You know, Israel, I hate to break it to you, but Israel is just another secular socialist government who spent any or all moral capital that they ever had decades ago. And I will be personally surprised if Israel, as it is presently constituted, exists 20 years from now. I would be shocked. It's sad to see. They seem to have forgotten how to fight a war to win and how to destroy an enemy. But then again, Israel has a history of that, going all the way back to, Joshua's days, actually, speaking of a biblical scholarship. All right, now, the Malaysian air shoot down. That the Russians did it. There's no doubt the Russians did it. And Vladimir Putin, if indeed, when George W. Bush looked him in the eye and saw a true Christian, if Putin has any, Putin should immediately apologize, throw himself on the mercy of the court, apologize, say, yes, I have been tampering in Ukraine. You all knew it. And we're very sorry. And he should start sending great big checks to those families. And he should punish whoever launched the missile. He should apologize. Even though he has no worldly motivation to do so. If he truly is a good Christian, like George W. Bush thought, he would apologize. And the riots and the protesters in Europe, they say they're protesting for Palestine, but they're actually anti-Semitic and socialist rioters starting fires and throwing rocks and breaking windows. Just another sign of a culture losing its identity to Islam. That's Western Europe. It's a preview of what's going to happen in Western Europe as the various secular socialist governments are overthrown by the Islamists in their midst as the Islamists reproduce and the secular socialist liberals don't reproduce. Eventually, this is what will happen. So we're seeing a little preview in the anti-Semitic riots in France, England, Western Europe in general. All right, what else is there? Oh, the Central American invasion. I just don't know what to make of it. I mean, it's been 30 years in the making. I mean, there's been this recent spike because Barry basically said, if you're young and you get here, we'll keep you. Well, George W. Bush signed the law in 2008 saying if you get here from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. But anyway, America is losing its identity. to third world illiterates seeking welfare. Now, third world illiterates are fine. They built this country. I'm a descendant of third world illiterates who escaped their country and came here. But it's the seeking welfare part. And if we didn't have the welfare, we wouldn't have the invasion, the Democrats and the liberal, socialist, secular, suicidal children who run the country couldn't have engineered this. And somebody should be arrested. Someone at the highest levels for giving these children the idea that they could get here and putting their lives in danger. What other crises? There's so many. Oh, the IRS emails, right? The IRS emails. All I can say about that is, at this point, what difference does it make? What difference does it make if Lois Lerner's hard drive was destroyed or the emails were lost? What difference does it make? That's all I've got to say about that. Oh, and then there's Iran. Oh, you forgot about Iran? I haven't forgotten about Iran. They're still working every day to build a nuclear bomb so that they can launch it against Tel Aviv or Jerusalem or New York City if they had a chance. That's the crisis that's underlying all these other crises. I haven't forgotten about it. So there we have the tranquility that Barry and the Barry and Kerry show and the entire secular, socialist, suicidal Western governments have brought us. Just this past couple of weeks since we've been out on the road. And so there, that's just, and so now I'm going to move on to other news that matters. I've got a story here from thehill.com about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. When I saw the headline with Ginsburg's name, I thought my prayers have been answered. She's died. But it turns out she's not dead, but she is sick. So don't give up hope. Keep hope alive. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, at least she's sick. She may not be dead, but at least she's sick. That's Jesse Jackson. Yeah. No, he likes... Anyway, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, there's some talk that she may be being pressured to retire by leftists, communist, socialist scum, the people who run the government. She's got some health problems. She's 81 years old, which if that doesn't prove that God is gracious and patient, then nothing does. But she's been sick, and some on the left are saying, could you get out before the Republicans take back the Senate so that we can put another person of your despicable ilk into the Supreme Court? So she may retire soon. Some on the left, according to The Hill, worry that it could be tough for Barry to fill a vacancy on the Supreme Court if the GOP wins back the Senate this fall. And my question to those liberals is, what evidence ever has there ever been anywhere that the Republicans have ever resisted a socialist, baby-killing, communist, scum, leftist, secular, suicidal Supreme Court justice nominated by any of the leftist presidents of the past 40 years? Ever. Have the Republicans ever resisted in any way? No, they have not. So, Ruth, just kick back and take it easy. Whenever you die, you die. And the Republicans will vote in your replacement no matter how red he, she, or it is. It could be a transgendered communist, and the majority of the Republican in the Senate will vote for it. So worry not, leftists. Your grip on the secular socialist government is secure. All right. So we'll move on from that. We will continue praying for the hastened demise of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and all other people who justify the murder of innocent people and the theft of the wealth of innocent Americans who just try to work hard every day. All right. Now, let's go on. Do we want to go on to the war file? I've got a quick story here from the war file before we go to our first break. Did we get a sponsor? Oh, no, we don't tolerate sponsors. Send them an email, tell them thanks, but no thanks. But we will have a break. All right, the White House has nominated a general to head the Air Force in the Pacific. It's Lieutenant General Lori Robinson. Now, according to the Washington Times, pilots historically have commanded Air Force warfighting components. But General Lori Robinson is not a career pilot. Now, she has done a bunch of cool stuff. She's done surveillance aircraft, the AWACS, and all this other cool stuff that she's done. But she's not a pilot. And this is an Air Force fighting wing. Well, she was nominated for a promotion amid a drive for more diversity in the Pentagon. Now, one retired pilot, quoted by the Washington Times, says there's a reason that Air Force pilots have historically been put in charge of large combatant command air forces. He says it's because you make decisions that require the understanding of what you're going to ask pilots to execute. And where the wrong decisions are made, it can mean the difference between life and death. Hence, pilots have typically been in charge of the Air Force. And call me crazy, but that sounds logical to me. But an Air Force spokeswoman said that Robinson has demonstrated the knowledge and experience across the entire spectrum of the mission areas in regards to her nomination. Except pilot. But never a pilot. Not everything but a pilot. All right. I'm just looking through the second tier stack of news. And, well, it's the second tier. Normally, that would have been the show. But there's so much. Let's get back into the government school file. Reason number 778. To keep or get your children out of the state university system, we go to campusreform.org with a report that Arizona State University, at their Women and Gender Studies department, right there. I mean, just don't send your kid if they have a Women and Gender Study. They have a Women and Gender Studies professor named Brianne Foz. Brianne encourages her female students to cease shaving their underarms and legs during the semester and document their experiences in a journal. If they do this, they receive extra credit, which helps a lot because most of these kids can't read. And so they need extra credit, and they get it for not shaving their armpits or their legs. Now, men, not to be discriminatory, men are also allowed to receive extra credit as long as they shave their entire bodies from the neck down.
Well, women don't shave.
Well, I'm just saying. She tells the men, if you want extra credit, you have to shave your entire body from the neck to your tip of your big toe.
How do they know?
She probably has inspections right there in the classroom, hon. This is the modern university system in America. She has the ability to get reportage on such scenarios. Trust me. Probably every evening. All right, but let's move on. That's reason number 778. We move now from Breitbart. We have reason number 780. 778, 780. These aren't in any particular order. Oh, that's right. 779 I'll be doing with Bob Enyart on his show this week, as we analyze the crumbling of Western civilization, the rise of Christianity, and open theism and stuff like that, that we'll be doing on his show. And I had to save number 779 for Bob's show because it's the most outrageous of the week. And that always, we like to do that on the real radio rather than here in the bowels of the McBurney compound on the Worldview. But reason number 780 is pretty outrageous. A husband and wife who are employed as high school coaches in Mississippi, the most conservative state in the union. They've been arrested and charged with molesting a teenage student. The school system has terminated their employment, and they each face 30 years in jail. Reason number 780, to keep or get your children out of the government schools. This was a high school. I can't get into the details because it's just, I mean, it's just disgusting. Yeah, the school, by the way, there's nothing to worry about now. They've terminated.
Thank goodness.
Right. Okay. So, they had to do that. There was rules that were in place. Two other teachers have taken their place. No report on if they've molested anyone yet. All right. On into the personhood file from the Weekly Standard. Have you heard of Lucy Flores? Lucy is a candidate for the lieutenant governor there in the state of Nevada. And she's been talking openly about her decision to have an abortion at the age of 16 out there on the campaign trail. Talking up her abortion. Now, first, I want to point out that the Weekly Standard claims to be some kind of conservative urinalist organization. But you notice how they report this. She's talking openly about her decision to have an abortion at the age of 16. They're not talking about her abortion. They don't report it as her abortion. And she doesn't even talk it up as her abortion. She talks about her decision to have an abortion. I know, maybe I'm a stickler, but I'm just saying, the urinalists who urinate for Weekly Standard are the same as the ones who urinate for other leftists. Magazines. They all have the same paradigm that they operate in, and they all have the same vocabulary that they use.
Yeah,
because what she should be talking about is the fact that there was a baby when she was 16. It was very inconvenient, so she had an abortion. But they say she's talking about her decision to have an abortion. And she says that her high school's failure to teach sex education, by the way, had a direct impact on her family. She says, I had six other sisters. All of them got pregnant in their teens, says Lucy Flores. She's running for the lieutenant governor of Nevada. Comes from a fine stock.
Nevada.
Nevada?
Nevada.
Oh, yes, it's Lucy Flores in Nevada. So at 16, she got an abortion. She says, I don't regret it because I'm here making a difference, at least in my mind, for many other young ladies and letting them know what their options are. And I want to help them to prevent. They can do things, not to be in the situation I was in, but to prevent. She didn't prevent. She killed an innocent person. She's being praised in leftist periodicals, magazines, websites like Slate and MSNBC about her decision to have an abortion and the courage she believes she's so far displayed. Is that courage? Is that how we measure courage? An innocent person needs you and completely relies on you, and you sacrifice everything for the good of that person, that's courage. But if you just kill that person, that's not courage. That's utter, disgusting, gross selfishness, and it should be condemned. And it is, at least in my circle of friends. She says, I'm unapologetic about being pro-choice, she said on an interview at MSNBC. She says, I've just always been very honest about the things that have occurred in my life. The things that have occurred.
Occurred.
You know. Like when you get a blowout on the highway, that's a thing that occurs. She had an abortion. She killed an innocent person. It didn't just occur, but she says, I've been very honest about the things that have occurred in my life, she says, in a dishonest manner, because people experience that every day of their lives. Now, that's something you can't argue with, because every day, some mother and father, multiple as a matter of fact, are murdering their children every single day. So Lucy got one thing right, that people are dealing with that every day. And they deal with it in a similar manner that Lucy did. They make a decision to have an abortion that occurs. I haven't seen how she's doing in the polls, but just the fact that she's out there in public in front of God and everybody talking about her brave decision. Occur and decision. I suppose you can make a decision that causes something to occur.
Okay.
But she uses occur in a very, dishonest manner. As she says, I've always been honest. She says she's always been very honest.
Okay.
As a matter of fact. Not just honest. All right, now speaking of abortion, let's go to China. From the Culture File, Breitbart reports that China's one-child policy, instituted in 1979, has made it the most gender-imbalanced country in the world. With about 118 boys for every 100 girls. Now, how hard is that to follow on the radio? I apologize, and I messed up the number. So for every 100 girls in China, there's 118 boys, which means there's 18 boys who are going to have a hard time finding a girl. Bottom line. Massive numbers of female babies in China, Breitbart reports, have been aborted. Perhaps the most disturbing outcome of having significantly more boys than girls is an increase in violent crimes. Well, stop right there, Breitbart. I would have to say one of the most disturbing outcomes of any of this is that massive numbers of female babies have been aborted. That's the most disturbing. Now, the increase in violent crime, that's disturbing as well. But it's not the most disturbing. No, it's all the dead babies that's the most disturbing. All the murdered innocent children. That's the most. Just try to keep Breitbart on the straight and narrow here. In 2012, the Chinese government estimated that China has now 40 million more boys than girls. 40 million more boys than girls, with the difference growing larger each year. China and their government and most of the media gloss over the fact that its one-child policy has been one of the great human rights atrocities in world history. Bravo to Breitbart for that. That is absolutely true. In a recent study published in Asian Population Studies, an economist and investigators found climbing rates of crime in China among unmarried males. Researchers find the proportion of unmatched, unskilled Chinese men of reproductive age could be as high as 1 in 4 by 2030. So 25% of the young, eligible men in China are not going to be able to find a girl. And they're probably going to find the People's Liberation Army. And the Chinese government will find something for them to do, trust me. China's crime rate has doubled in the last 2 decades. And China alone stands to have as many unmarried young men as the entire population of young men in America. And it's well known that in any country, rootless young males spell trouble. Indeed. Beginning in the early 1960s, actually, you could go back to the early 20th century if you want to look at the killing of inconvenient, innocent children worldwide. If you want to look at the decriminalization of abortion since the early 20th century, they have sown the wind with this legalized abortion, and I'm afraid that our children and grandchildren will reap the whirlwind, the worst of it. It's awful what's happened in China. It's awful what's happened here. I think I've said this before on the show, I think, that by my estimate, there's been over 1 billion legal abortions since the liberalization of abortion began in the 20th century. 1 billion innocent people killed, and that's more than all the wars and all the atrocities in all of human history combined. 1 billion. More than 1 billion. And China stands atop the heap. And they may be, it may be from the east, from whence the whirlwind comes. It's the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney, and I've got a story here from the Business Insider from the Science Really file. The Business Insider headline says by 2045, the top species on Earth will no longer be humans. That's what they said.
Okay.
Yes. Now, Louis Del Monte, a physicist and author of a book that I won't mention, he says that artificial intelligence and the singularity, an indeterminate point in the future when machine intelligence will outmatch not only your own intelligence, but the world's combined human intelligence, it may be upon us as soon as 2045. The singularity may occur. Now, I thought perhaps this story had something to do with the fact that we human beings have legally murdered a billion people since the early 20th century. But no, this is about artificial intelligence. Well, I think the former has a lot more to do with us not being the top species, at least not morally, ethically. But he's talking about humanity actually being eclipsed by machines, computers, and artificial intelligence. Yes, the average estimate amongst people who ponder such things on when this singularity will occur is 2040, but Del Monte says it might be as late as 2045. Anyway, they say by the end of this century, says Del Monte, most of the human race will have become cyborgs. Yes, part human and part machine. Cyborgs, yes. Del Monte believes machines will become self-conscious and have the capabilities to protect themselves, and they might view humans in the same way humans now view harmful insects. And they may decide to just wipe us out, or at least enslave us, turn us into man-machine robot cyborgs. Well, I think that if artificial intelligence ever does achieve the ability to react and respond to what the human race is doing, that they'll probably attack all the abortion clinics and they'll say, wait a minute, what's this all about? That's what I think. But I don't think there's going to be a singularity. I have no concern about machines or computers ever achieving anything like any of this. I think this is a fantasy world that happens when you're not moored to a solid understanding of reality, which so many of our scientists, theologians, economists, professors, they're just not attached to reality any longer. And I think that's a result of a generation or two or three of the utter denial of their creator, the denial that reality is unavoidable and real, and that this is all real, and a denial that innocent people should take precedence over us. That's what I said, yes. An innocent person should take precedence over you or me. And if you don't feel that way, eventually you are going to go insane and you're going to start fearing robots and computers and zombies. And now you still may collect a big fat paycheck from the university or the think tank where you churn out the drivel like this that becomes just a mildly entertaining, silly story on a broadcast like this. But you will go insane. And also, your eternal soul will be lost. Your eternal soul will be lost. Now, I've got another story here from the Science Really file. Yes. CBS in Connecticut is reporting that NASA officials say humans will prove that we are not alone in the universe within 20 years. Yeah, so that's about 25 years before the robots take over. We're going to find the aliens, apparently. Maybe the aliens will be able to save us from the robots. Let's read deeper. CBS reports that NASA scientists estimate that humans will be able to find life out there in outer space within 2 decades. The space agency has outlined a plan to search for alien life. That's right. NASA administrators and scientists estimate that humans will be able to locate that alien life if they're allowed to start their project just as soon as possible. They want to get a satellite up by 2017 and start beginning the critical job of trying to find life on other planets. Yes. And they say they'll find it within 20 years or about the time that the last class of bureaucrats hired at NASA right now when they're starting all the, right when they're due to start collecting their retirement. That's about when we'll, and it could go a little bit longer, but, you know, the guys who hatched it, they'll be retired at that point, and it'll be the next generation's problem. Well, the next generation, they'll have to worry about the robots and the computers and like that. So anyway, I've got a quote here from Matt Mountain, who's the director at the Space Telescope Science Institute. He says, just imagine that moment when we find a potential signatures of life. Imagine that. Potential signatures. By the way, Matt Mountain's organization, the Space Telescope Science Institute, they plan to launch the James Webb Space Telescope in 2018, start searching for life. Matt says, what we didn't know 5 years ago is that perhaps 10 to 20% of all the stars around us have Earth-sized planets that are in the habitable zone. Yeah, it's within our grasp to pull off a discovery that will change the world forever. He said, as, you know, NASA, they're desperately looking for something to make themselves relevant. And I think that at least a plurality of the morons out there think that there's probably life on other planets and there's all kinds of Earths out there. They're just everywhere. We're surrounded by life. Well, anyway, you got to feel sorry for these bureaucrats at NASA. I mean, it's their life. And so they're trying to find something meaningful to do. And when there's nothing meaningful to do, bureaucrats are perfectly happy to do things that are meaningless. And anyway, the scientists who plan to build their careers on this mission, they describe their own estimates at finding life as conservative. That's right. They say we're going to find life on another planet within 20 years, and they say, well, that's a conservative estimate. Why? Well, NASA calculates that 100 million worlds within the Milky Way galaxy are able to sustain complex life forms. Where do they get that idea? I have no idea where they get that idea. I think they cut it out of whole cloth. I think they sucked it out of the tip of their thumb. I don't think they have any idea where they got that idea, except they need something to do to busy themselves. So they say there's 100 million worlds that are able to sustain complex alien life forms, and that estimate accounts for the 17 billion, with a B, Earth-sized worlds scientists believe to be orbiting the galaxy's 100 billion stars. So you start looking at all these billions and billions and billions, and if you're unmoored from reality and you have no connection to your creator and the story of humanity, then you start to believe, well, there probably is life out there on another planet. There probably is. Anyway, I don't think there's life on any other planets, people. I'm sorry. I know, reality can be a little bit boring, and sometimes your agency gets shut down and you have to find another job. But that's reality. But I imagine they'll be able to gin this up into quite a career for hundreds, maybe thousands of NASA bureaucrats and scientists. So instead of solving the real problems of the world, they're going to go out there and look for life on other planets. NASA astronomer Kevin Hand, back to the CBS story here, even suggested that alien life may exist on Jupiter's moon, Europa. Yeah, I mean, it could be there. It's been there the whole time. We just got to find it. I want to sign up for that. I'll be the project manager. I'll tell you what. $75,000 a year. That's all I need. 2 weeks vacation, company car. That's all I need. I'll find it. I'll search Europa, every square centimeter of it. He says, it is improbable that in the limitless vastness of the universe, we humans stand alone. Well, the universe is neither limitless. Well, it's not limitless. It is vast. But I'm here to tell you, we're not alone. We have each other. We have God. There's the angels, right? But as far as life in the universe, we're alone. And no matter how desperate you are for a job, we're still going to be alone. Now, speaking of being alone, I've got a story from the French press agency. They report on a new study. Where do I start this here? Researchers asked volunteers for the study to sit alone in an unadorned room with no mobile phone, no reading or writing materials, and then report back on what it was like after sitting in a room empty by themselves for between 6 and 15 minutes. Well, a number of those people reported that they would rather inflict pain on themselves than spend 15 minutes in a room by themselves with nothing to do. They were actually given that opportunity in the study. You can sit alone with just you and your thoughts, or you can shock yourself with a painful electrical shock. And a plurality of the people in the study chose to shock themselves.
15 minutes
by yourself with nothing but you and your thoughts. People couldn't take it. Yep. About half found the experience was unpleasant. Researchers say most people do not enjoy just thinking and clearly prefer having something else to do. This is the study's been reported in the journal Science. An initial pilot study found, surprisingly, that students preferred to hear the sound of a scraping knife to hearing no noise at all. And they offered students in one of the studies the chance to rate various stimuli, including the electric shock that I mentioned. And some people even said they would pay money to get out of the room. Two-thirds of the male subjects gave themselves at least one electrical shock while they were alone. A quarter of the women chose to hurt themselves rather. Now I can understand why they're looking for life in outer space. These poor heathens can't stand being alone, for crying out loud.
15 minutes.
I don't know.
I want that time.
Yeah, I would kill for 15 minutes to just sit. I have, by the way, speaking of just being alone, I've had some difficulty sleeping over the past few weeks. I have had difficulty sleeping in my life in the past, and I solved that with various alcohol and tobacco primarily in my youth when I couldn't sleep. And I have had trouble sleeping throughout the years, but not recently, not in my adult life. But recently I have. And so I found that if I just say to myself, be still and know that I am God, and then Bible themes start to flow from that in my mind, stories from the Bible, people, events, teachings. Anyway, it helps me sleep. So I think I could sit alone for 15 minutes and probably solve half the problems on the planet. And I certainly wouldn't pay money to leave or elect for an electric shock. Be still and know that I am God. That's been working for me. I suggest if you're having issues being alone or having trouble sleeping, just try that. And if you have any familiarity with the story of the Bible, you'd be amazed at what starts flowing through the cortex eye of your brain there. And, instead of going crazy or, choosing to hurt yourself, you may actually find yourself being edified.
When I start to lose it all, security run through the wall. From the things we plan, unless we're clinging to the things we prize. And do you feel scared? I do, but I won't stop and falter. And if we throw it all away, it's gonna make it better.
All right, now we could let Howard go on for quite some time there, but we're running out of time. Thank you, my extremely attractive audio engineer, slips in some pop music on occasion. And we enjoy it. We enjoy it. All right, now, we are rapidly running out of time. I was going to close with this, but I can't save it because it actually, well, it builds on some other stuff here. Joe Biden. Yeah, that's all you got to say, and people automatically smirk, chuckle, snicker. Just say Joe Biden in mixed company. Yeah. On the 4th of July, by the way, San Diego Harbor, 4th of July, very impressive. Very well done. The fireworks. I want to thank my extremely attractive audio engineer for making sure we were there. But on the 4th of July, Independence Day, the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden, used an Independence Day celebration and a speech in Philadelphia to compare homosexual marriage to the civil rights movement and a push for more homosexual marriage. And not only that, he said homosexual marriage was the next battle to expand the notion that all men are created equal. Quoting the Declaration of Independence in regards to perverted, corrupt defilement of the family as instituted by God. Joe said you should be able to marry whomever you love. And he says we have a lot more to do to fulfill the promise and the meaning of the Declaration. So can you imagine the founding fathers sitting around? Now, I know they wore the powdered wigs and they wore the really high, tight socks. But I can guarantee you they were not talking about men marrying men when they said all men are created equal. As a matter of fact, they even included women in that, because back then, English, the masculine encompassed the feminine. Anyway, so Joe Biden, this is why Joe Biden is going straight to hell with jet rockets. And speaking of that, let's go to Elton John. You may wonder to yourself, why is Elton John going to hell on a grease pole with jet rockets? Well, here's why. From Breitbart, their big Hollywood page reports that in a recent interview, Elton John praised Pope Francis and claimed that Jesus Christ would support homosexual men marrying one another.
What?
Yes. Elton John said that gay members of the clergy should be able to marry each other, and he believed Jesus Christ would be in favor of homosexual men marrying each other, which, by the way, became legal in Britain back in March. Elton John said, quote, "If Jesus Christ were alive today, I cannot see him saying this could not happen."
He sounds like a queen.
He was all about love and compassion and forgiveness and trying to bring people together. And that is what the church should be about. So this is the unforgivable sin. People wonder, have I committed the unforgivable sin? No, you haven't. If you worry that you have, you haven't. Elton John doesn't worry that he's committed the unforgivable sin, and he has. This is attributing the works of Satan to God. Taking the most foul and vile, disgusting, sinful behavior on the planet and attributing that to be something that Jesus Christ would support, that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It's the unforgivable sin. And if Elton doesn't repent, and there's a very slim chance that Elton John will ever repent, he has blasphemed the Holy Spirit. He has committed the ultimate sin. And yes, he's going straight to hell with jet rockets. Did I just say the unforgivable sin was forgivable? Yes, I did. It is forgivable if you repent. If Elton John changed his mind and said he was sorry and repented and turned from his sin and toward Jesus Christ, then God would forgive the unforgivable sin. All right. Yes. I know I'm just an amateur theologian, but that makes perfect logical sense to me. It's like at church this morning, our pastor, Bob, was talking about the trouble theologians have with bad things in the world, the problem of evil in the world. Well, a simpleton who never went to seminary would say, Well, there's evil in the world because people disobey God and they hurt God and they hurt one another. Sounds extremely logical to me. But theologians struggle with that and they have a hard time and they end up twisting themselves in knots and becoming fools when the fact is that there's evil in the world because people disobey God, they rebel against God. And the unforgivable sin is only unforgivable if you don't repent of it and you die in your sin. That's all. Okay. Now, onto the war file. Iraq's Christian leaders have just made a desperate cry for help. They've issued an appeal. Rafael Sacco, head of Iraq's Catholic Church, wrote this: "To all who have a living conscience in Iraq and to all the world." He reported that on June 16th, ISIS, the Islamists in Iraq and Syria, had marked the doors of Christians in red. And the Christians there are pleading with the world to intervene before the meaning of the sign is made clear. Breitbart reports that Christianity has been steadily deteriorating in Iraq ever since the 2000 invasion of that America took part in. Partially because America did not prioritize the protection of Christians and other minorities. And now with ISIS sweeping through broad swaths of Iraq, Christians look to be on the verge of a genocide. And there's the call. Everybody says, well, the last thing we should do is put boots on the ground in Iraq. Well, shouldn't we go in and rescue the Christians and other minorities? I'm happy to rescue the Sikhs and whoever else. No, we can't do it. Why? Because we've squandered our moral and our physical capital to the point where we are impotent as a nation. And by the way, our government is filled with people who hate Christians. They're just glad to see Christians being killed. That's what I'm convinced of. All right. From the domestic tranquility file, Philadelphia police are investigating the discovery of a young woman's body inside a duffel bag in the greater Philadelphia area. Her arms were bound in the front with duct tape. There is no report yet as to whether or not Ira Einhorn, the creator of Earth Day, has been released from prison. We don't know if that's connected. In the Bronx, we have a story. Two brothers have been charged with manslaughter for beating a homeless man to death as he slept on the steps of a church. Surveillance video shows the brothers stomp and kick the head of a 41-year-old homeless man as he slept on the steps of the church. The brothers have been arrested before for robberies, multiple robberies, and one of them had 5 marijuana-related arrests. Just a cool dude, man, you know. Everything's fine. That's the domestic tranquility file. From the personhood file, we have to move quickly. Madisonville, Tennessee, from United Press International. Mallory Loyola of Madisonville, Tennessee, has been arrested and charged with simple assault. She's the first woman to face prosecution under a new state law criminalizing drug use while pregnant. Loyola and the daughter she gave birth to last week both tested positive for amphetamines. Well, a new law in Tennessee, which took effect July 1st, states a woman may be prosecuted for assault for the illegal use of a narcotic drug while pregnant. Well, lawyers have intervened. Oh, yes. National Advocates for Pregnant Women and the ACLU have sent a passel of lawyers down there to point out that methamphetamine is technically not a narcotic. That's right. Narcotics are typically drugs that put you to sleep. Hence, narco. Right? Yes, heroin, methadone, other opiates and painkillers, tranquilizers, sleeping pills. But the lawyers are pointing out crystal meth does not induce sleepiness. So you can't prosecute her. In fact, we're going to take you to court. We're going to fight for her right to smoke meth while she's pregnant. Why? Because we're lawyers. All right, that's it. I'm not going to do any more of that story. So they caught the people of Tennessee on a technicality there. Yeah. Let's see here. How much time do we have? Well, I think I have time to do these. All right. The World Health Organization, according to the French press agency, says HIV infections are rising among homosexual men in many parts of the world. So the WHO is warning homos to take antiretroviral drugs to prevent infection. Hey, World Health Organization, how about advising homos to stop engaging in homosexual behavior? No, 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 no. Wouldn't want to do that. That's politically incorrect. Instead, take these medications and go to the rave party. Here, bring some meth. Take some meth and some antiretrovirals. You'll be fine. Let's see. The article calls the World Health Organization the unhealth agency. I think that's appropriate. The unhealth agency has made recommendations that homos keep being homos, as homo as you want to be, but take these antiretrovirals. And U.S. authorities made the same recommendations back in May of this year. They say taking pre-exposure prophylaxis medications has been estimated to cut HIV incidence among men by 20 to 25%. Well, not engaging in that type of behavior, that cuts it by 100%. Now, if you're interested in health, I would think, but these people aren't interested in health. Of course, what is the unhealth agency says? What we need to do is decriminalize and destigmatize homosexuality, promote condom use, and have more HIV testing. Yes, they've got all kinds of great ideas at the unhealth agency. Here we go. In San Francisco, homos are on the march to stop the ban on blood donated by homosexual men. They want homosexual men to be able to donate blood just like everybody else. A spokesperson says it's discriminatory and it has no basis in public health. All blood donations are heavily tested. Well, do you know why they're heavily tested? Because of homos in the 80s. Yeah, that's right. The congressman, oh, what is he there? I don't know what he is. His name is Wiener. He's from San Francisco, Scott Wiener, supervisor, whatever that is. I think that means he runs a gay bar in the Castro. He's the governing official in charge of this, and he's an open, avid, flaming homosexual. And he says homos should be allowed to donate blood. Maybe he missed this article about HIV infections exploding among homosexual men. HIV's down amongst all the other categories of peoples. But among homos, it's on the rise. And, of course, in San Francisco, where there's a bunch of suicidal, secular, heathen children running the place, they want. Oh, by the way, a report from the Washington Post last week says that less than 3% of the U.S. population identify themselves as homosexual or lesbian. A big survey. 1.6% of adults say they're homos. 1.6%. And 0.7% consider themselves, I don't even want to talk about that. Anyway, that's just not that many people, okay? Oh, by the way, that's doubled in the last 20 years. So that is kind of a scary thing. I know it's still a small percentage, but the percentage has doubled. So the forces of darkness seeking to destroy the bodies and souls of young people that are on the march. But it's less than 3% are homos, and they practically run the government and Hollywood, and the television production studios. It's unbelievable. Yeah, they practically do. All right, finally, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the New York Post. Story from New York: underground graffiti legend Jason Wolfe was found dead. Yeah, I know. On a set of subway tracks last week. 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, right when we went on vacation. One thing that bothered us about California, this time it wasn't the graffiti so much or the barbed wire on the street signs. Kind of used to that. Was the tattoos. You go to the beach, you go to the pool, and I don't think it's just California. It's like every white person under 40 has tattoos. And not just one tattoo, but, you know, lots of tattoos. I find it disgusting. Now, if you've got tattoos and you're offended, well, fine. Be offended. Whatever. Get out of here with those tattoos. My kids have to look at that. They look at these people like they're a freak show at the circus. My kids are looking up, grabbing my leg like, Daddy, is he going to hurt me? No, but he's a creep. People with their... Anyway, back to Jason Wolf, 42 years old, a legend in the underground graffiti world, was found dead on a set of subway tracks on the 5th of July. It's unclear if what Wolf was doing right before he died, but he was in the subway, and he's famous for as a graffiti artist. Police say it was possible that he was tagging, or he was about to. Tagging is when they spray their graffiti. Apparently, he fell on the third rail of the subway and was fried like a mosquito in one of those infrared lamp things. Yeah, he had been heading from Brooklyn to Queens, where he lived with his fiance and their dog. But he never made it home. At his funeral service, his casket was white so that his friends could cover it in graffiti. Now, he had been arrested 13 times since 2008, including his most recent arrest this past February for criminal mischief, graffiti, and trespassing. So, one caning, one good whipping, any time since 2008 could have saved this guy's life. Instead, he ends up a crispy critter on the third rail of the subway. And there you have it. Yes, that's why I call for corporal punishment for crimes like this, because I want to save lives, even of morons like this guy. All right. That's because I care. That's the Weekly Worldview for this week. Thanks for tuning in. I want to thank KGOV.com. Tune in this week. Catch me and Bob. Denver Bible Church, Theology Online, OpenTheism.org. Check it out. And as always, my other brother, Darryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. Should the Lord tarry, I will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.